Well, this is a podcast I've been waiting to do for so many years and have wanted to do for such a long time, and it is such an exciting day and really a moment for me. When I started doing this website, ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, I thought about who could I add that would be somebody that, to me, is somebody that I have admired, I've respected, I have looked up to, I have read my entire life, and somebody that I consider one of my best friends in the world. He is, in my opinion, on the Mount Rushmore of sports in St. Louis, and I am just thrilled to add him to ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. He's going to be writing daily columns, and that is Bernie Miklas. Welcome to the family, man.
It must be. You must have a incredibly large Mount Rushmore with like 1,000 people on it, so I fit. But no, thank you for the kind words. And I'm excited because you and I have talked about working together for a long time. Didn't know when or how, and the opportunity presented itself, and I didn't hesitate, as you know, because you and I think alike. We kind of work alike. We're pretty passionate, even intense, about what we do professionally. And I know that if I came to ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, that the work would be valued, it would be appreciated, it would matter. And if I can help you grow your site, which is already terrific, and you know that, I've been a fan since you launched it, and it gets better and better. I like being on board with something that's growing and moving. And if I can help accelerate that, awesome. That's my goal.
How much have you missed writing?
I miss writing a lot. And, you know, when I was working at 101 ESPN, for example, I did a lot of writing. And it's something, though, that when I was trying to do so much working for, you know, at one place where sort of job responsibilities got conflicted, if you will, the energy expenditure was always a challenge for me. How much to writing, how much this. This is a different situation because I can, with a different schedule for radio, and I know you don't mind me saying this, I'm going to be hosting an afternoon drive show at KFNS
for sure.
From 3 to 6. So I got the mornings to myself. There's no pressure. There's no stress. There's no worries. I can write a column, maybe two, and then sort of get along with my day. And if there's breaking news, something happens, you know, I won't be so sleep deprived that I can't maybe grind something out late at night, you know? So I'm just, it gives me flexibility. But more than that, I wasn't going to write unless I really felt that I had a good home, a great home for it.
Writing, though, is your first love.
I would say, yeah, because it was my first dream as a young kid. What do you want to do when you grow up? And I wanted to be a sports writer. So that hasn't changed. Now, I've diversified through the years and actually was very, very early onto the dual career bandwagon where I was doing radio in the early 80s. And it was always kind of a simultaneous career. But yeah, I would say sports writing is something that's kind of in my heart. And I think broadcasting is very important, and I love it. Don't get me wrong. And I think it's necessary to do it, too. But I guess at heart, I'll always be a writer. I'm proud of that.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I miss your writing.
Well, thank you.
I know that people reach out to you constantly and say, I miss your writing. So what do you miss about writing? What is something that, when you're watching a game, because I know that even though during the shutdown and the pandemic, you're watching sports probably not as much as you were if you were intimately involved, but what do you miss about writing?
I just miss playing a role, and it's not like I feel like I need that visibility for my own ego. It's not that. But when you've done something in the city of St. Louis for all the great fans, you know, I was the lead columnist of the Post-Dispatch for 26 years, 1989 through 2015, and even writing for the Post-Dispatch before that, but specifically as a columnist. You know, you're part of the scene. You're in the middle of everything. People, not everybody, of course, but people look forward to what you have to say. I always took great satisfaction and joy in the fact that people really did care about what I had to say about an issue, a burning issue, or even something as simple as like what the lineup should be for Mike Schilt. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I miss the action. And I miss sort of being part of that broad sports community that we have. you know, the owners of the teams, the general managers, the players, the coaches, the fans, other media. You know, it's just one, it's one big carnival. I kind of miss being in the middle of it, that, frankly. And also, I think writing's a great way to express myself. And it's a great way where you can add a piece. You have time to do it. You can reflect. You can sit back for a minute, watch things unfold, put things in perspective, or sharpen the perspective for people who look to you. And, you know, I hopefully still provide some value in that way, where I'm not sort of repeating what everyone else has said, but I'm adding some layers to it, or I'm adding a different angle to it, or some information, some analysis that I'm not going to say is exclusive to me, but maybe needs to be highlighted more. I think I've always been pretty good at that. And I think I've always been pretty good at sort of pushing back against what I think, you know, kind of like questionable narratives are, where people assume things like Matt Holliday was never any good in the clutch. Well, you say that to me and I'm going to prove you wrong. I like that kind of thing too.
So there's a lot of people listening and saying, okay, I get a chance to read Bernie again. So this is how it's going to work. We're going to have it set up to where you provide an email. Very simply, you give us an email, you're going to get in your inbox Bernie's column of the day or two. I'm going to try to hold Bernie down a little bit because I don't want him to get too worn out.
Got to get into a groove first. Got to figure out the routine.
Hey, you have, I mean this, God love you. You know I love you. You're a workaholic. I got to keep you on the rails here, Bo. You know, that's a problem with you. You get off the rails and you start writing too much. I don't. Here's actually a guy working with you saying you're working too much.
I
got to keep you focused, baby.
You're the ideal guardian about somebody keeping things in perspective and not grinding away too much. That would be Dan McLaughlin, because that's never an issue for you.
In these days of politics, do as I say, not as I do. So I'm going to keep you on the rails with that sometimes, but this is how you do it. You can either go to the site. It'll be posted on the site. If you follow us on Twitter, at DannyMacTV, at BJ Miklas, I believe that is your Twitter handle. And you've got how many?
No, just at Miklas, my last name.
I'm sorry.
That's all right, man.
And
M-I-K-L-A-S-Z, at Miklas.
And I follow you.
I know.
You're not tweeting enough, by the way.
I know. Well, that's the other thing.
That's going to change.
I've been sort of holding back on that until I jump back on the stage.
Well, I got a couple of quote-unquote bits I'm going to throw out in this here in a couple of minutes. But you can follow us there. It's going to be posted there. It's going to be posted on the site. You can get it in your inbox, and it's free. This is not a paywall. We're not doing that. We want people to be able to read your work. So it's very important that people understand that, because I want people to read your work again. I want everybody to enjoy it, because I have missed it.
I appreciate that.
I do, man. I just miss it. So in a general sense, what do you, and I've kind of asked this already, but what do you want to accomplish? Like, what do you want to get back into with your writing in terms of, because some of this may not be, you know, diehard sports and Mike Shields lineups. There may be other things that you want to get out. I'm sure you've thought over this time period, God, I'd love to have a forum right now to write something. And I've got my time off, you know, I'm taking my time off. So I'm going to bite the bullet here and wait till that opportunity comes. And I know you had multiple opportunities. So what are some of the things that you want to accomplish that even maybe are outside of sports that you have? And by the way, you've got carte blanche to write what you want, that which is great. That's what I want. So, and that's what people want. They want your thoughts. What other things do you want to accomplish?
You know, and I haven't given much thought to writing about things that are considered non-sports, but I know that time will come where I'll evolve and branch out a little bit. But first, I sort of just want to get reacquainted with a reading audience that, you know, I've had such a great relationship with for a long time. And I always hope to provide provocative opinions, and provocative doesn't mean controversial or doing the fake hot take thing to get attention. If you hired me for clickbait, you may be disappointed, because that kind of thing has been cheapened in our modern media culture. And there's just a lot of people clowning and putting on a false front. And I just want to be honest and be myself and hope that that's still good enough. I'll write plenty of stuff. I'll inform. I'll entertain. Hopefully give people something to think about all the time. When I need to throw down with a tough opinion, I'll certainly do it. I won't hesitate. However, it'll be a genuine opinion, a sincere opinion. It won't be written for effect or to get a reaction. You know, I think I built up that credibility over a lot of years, And yeah, I've made mistakes. There's some columns I'd like to take back. When you write about 50,000 columns, of
right.
of course some of them were like, ooh, that was a clunker, or ooh, I was a little too bit of a hard head there. But no, I want to do what I've always done, but maybe just find a way to do it better. And maybe, as we were talking about, maybe branch out a little bit. And I know, and I don't want to preempt you because I don't know if you wanted to talk about this. You know, the one thing people say to me all the time is that I really
know where you're going. I hope.
Yeah. Well, you can bring it up if you want. No, because I told you when you and I talked about this, and I said, I'll tell you one thing I'm going to do, because since I left the Post-Dispatch, I never felt like I had the right place for it. Because to me, it's very special to me. A column that I used to write at the Post-Dispatch that was very popular and people looked forward to it. And when they didn't have it anymore, they were like, oh, man, you know, I like what you're doing, but geez, I really miss what?
The bits.
The Bernie bits, which were kind of a Saturday staple at the Post-Dispatch. And this is a credit to you, because I don't know what it is. Maybe it was psychological. I can't even explain it, so don't ask me to explain it. It is part of it, just so many people touching my heart by saying they missed reading the Bernie bits, right? But also, it's a situation where I wanted to put it back into circulation, but I wanted to do it at the right place and for somebody who would care about it and somebody who frankly knows what it has meant to people. And I know a lot of this is self-serving, so I apologize. But I know that you understand that the Bernie bits were kind of a St. Louis staple for sports fans. And I can't think of a better place than to restart that than working with you at scoopswithdannymac.com. And I mean that sincerely. In fact, I'm going to take it to the next level. It was important for me in my next writing job, first of all, that it would be a writing job and it would be separate from radio, right? I wanted a separation of church and state, let's say. But the other thing is that I'm at a stage in my career, in a stage in my life. Look, I'm not 90 years old, but you know what I'm saying. I'm 60, mm-hmm. where it's more personal now. Personal as not making decisions based totally on money or totally on like, well, I need to work for this huge platform. You know, I need to fulfill my ego. No, it's about wanting to work with someone that I love and someone who kind of shares the same drive to produce good work and to try to serve people and to have that connection. I didn't want to just go somewhere and start writing for a stranger or someone who wouldn't maybe get it all the way, or I'm part of this big, huge assembly line. No, it's a personal thing. I wanted to make a personal choice. I wanted to make myself happy and do it because when you have a chance to really work with a friend and someone you look up to, and I look up to you because you work
vice
so
versa.
Hard and you're so damn good at what you do. When you have a chance to actually do that, you know, and you're at a stage of your career where it really makes sense and it really will provide me with a lot of satisfaction. I wanted to make that personal decision. It, you know, it's taking all the other crap out of it. Just this feels good. It feels like the right thing.
Couldn't agree more. I'm getting emotional over the bits. I'm dead serious. I got goosebumps.
You're going to be the first person on the calm down list.
I was... Well, you're reading my mind. I got little bullet points.
You're going to be on it every week.
I hardly ever write down anything that I'm... When I do an interview, I hardly ever write down little bullet points
right.
or bits, okay? When I do an interview, I just go into it, and I listen to what the person says, and that's how I interview. You know, they may say... You got to pay attention.
Right.
They may say something. You
right.
go, oh, wait a minute. But I have... Look at this. Number six.
Yeah.
I got little things here. I said, I got to ask about calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down section. So
I took that. I stopped doing that in bits because too many people didn't understand that it was definitely tongue in cheek.
So
in fact, I used to put myself on it just to
yes.
show people, hey, we're just laughing here. I'm laughing at myself too.
So
many people would get bent out of shape and I'm like, I felt bad.
So
my friend Frank Cusumato is going to hate me for this, but I love him. You know, he called me up one time because I put him on the calm down list, and his dear mother was upset. She was like crying. And I said, and I actually, for one of the few times of my career, legitimately felt guilty. I'm like, I can't do that.
I was in the calm down section. One time you and I were out.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're having a few adult beverages.
No.
I know you find that shocking. And, we got into an argument, a friendly argument.
Yeah.
And I said, you are so full of it. I said, you're wrong about that. And we're having fun. It was
right.
a fun argument.
Totally.
And you get on your phone. This is when What, not blueberry, what are they, blackberries?
Right.
Blueberry, blackberries. You said, the hell with it. You're going in the calm down section starting right. I go, don't do it. I said, my family's going to go wild over this. And he's, that's it. And you edited it right there. And I was in the calm down section the next day.
You were. Yeah, no doubt about it. And look, I feel like I should backfill a little bit for people who don't remember.
And I loved it. I thought it was hilarious.
People who don't remember it who don't know it because maybe they're young and they never. I just for something fun in the bits, which is a big, a big collection of notes, opinions, stats, excerpts from out of town, all this stuff. Little gossip thrown in, little again, hard hit opinions, stingers here and there.
Love it.
But I wanted to have like different devices in the column. And so I had a thing each week and it was really tongue in cheek. It wasn't meant out of malice. It was like, would the following people please calm down? And I tell you that thing, I got more reaction from that thing than any other thing in the bits.
Is it coming back?
It's coming back. You better believe it.
Awesome.
I was talking to Martin Kilcoyne today and he even said, well, the first person's got to be Danny Mann. and I said, yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
I know. So we're going to have a lot of fun with it. And things like that, where the following people please calm down. I mean, there's a million things I'm going to try to cram in there. And people can look forward to that pretty much every day. I mean, talking about weekdays, Monday through Friday. Because it's when I get up in the morning, have a cup of coffee.
And you're an early riser.
Yeah, I will be. And even though I've had time to sleep in, I rarely do. Now, I used to get up at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Now, I'll start stirring at 5:30 or 6, which is like all good for me when you've been getting up at 3.
So it's like sleeping in now.
So hopefully you'll be able to put in, good time and a lot of bits and, just sort of write that. And hopefully people will, that remember it and liked it will enjoy it the same, during the comeback stage.
You're going to absolutely pound me. And that's
I am.
It's going to be a Tuesday night in Pittsburgh. It's going to be a blowout, we're going to be doing stupid stuff on the air. And the next day, I'm going to open up Scoops with Danny Mac, and I'm just going to be pounded.
No, I'm going to be critiquing the broadcast.
That's fine.
Like, I never used to do that.
I want you to now. Just pound it.
I'm just going to shred you, basically.
That's fine.
All right, good.
So let me ask you this. When you do the bits, so the Saturday gets published, or when it used to, and who knows, you're going to kind of do a daily collection of bits, basically?
Yeah, like a bits column every weekday morning.
Okay.
Now, the first column I write will be, soon, as we record this. It's literally in a matter of a few days.
Right.
By the time people listen to this, they may have already read it. This will be just sort of me explaining why not only I decided to shift in my writing career and explain why I made this choice to join my friend Dan McLaughlin.
Gotcha.
So that's going to be a more personal thing. Then we'll get into the bits as we start the first week.
Gotcha. When you used to do that, so would you have to, because you scour the internet, and it used to scour prior internet, you would scour newspapers, magazines, that kind of thing, a lot of phone calls, it would be, as you said, it might be some rumor.
I had tipsters, or as I would call them, spies.
Yeah.
Spies in Columbia.
That's what I love.
Yeah, spies in Champaign-Urbana.
right.
I mean? Spies at Rams Park.
Exactly. So you would just have like a little notepad and just...
make sure I write everything down, follow up on it if I had to.
Unbelievable.
Then I'd wait for... This sounds stupid because none of us are that ancient, but... there really was a time where email wasn't the conventional way.
Exactly.
It was, people would call you. So I'd wait for that phone to ring every Saturday morning.
How many people?
Because people would get, they would say, you got that wrong. Or like, I can't believe you said. People would get really mad. People would, people that I know would call me to laugh about some of the stuff they liked. I would just like Saturday mornings would be spent fielding phone calls, basically.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And now it'll be email. And by the way, that's another thing. And I know I'm bouncing around, but one thing I hope to do regularly is I like interaction, but I don't necessarily like Wild West reaction. And it's not a matter of like me not wanting to be, ripped by readers. That's not it at all. I mean, I've been around a long time. I've been ripped every which way you can be ripped, blasted by just about everybody, hated by some. I mean, if I ever was thin-skinned, that's probably decades ago.
I don't know how you did it these years.
So I don't really mind the criticism. But my point is we have enough of that right now in our culture where it's just name calling and it's like, you know, you're stupid. No, you're stupid.
Well, and the access is so easy now, too.
Right. So I actually want to interact with people who come to us at scoopswithdannymac.com. So I want to have mailbags, for lack of a better term. We'll think of a title for it. But I want people to email me questions or even email me something that they thought that I'm totally wrong about and express it in a civil, hopefully intelligent way. Give me something to think about, and then I'll respond. So we're going to do that regularly as well. People will have access to me. I just think it should be in a way where it's civil, it's intelligent, it's reasonable. You can say whatever you want, but there's no need to, you know, kind of act like the usual Twitter, you know, idiot or whatever.
Right.
You know, just put some thought into it, and we'll have a really good exchange.
Curious about something you said earlier. There, you said, you know, you've written thousands of columns. So, and I'm sure you've thought about it. You've probably been asked about it. Is there the one column that you say, I wish I could take it back?
Wow, that's a good one. I'd have to think about that. I don't know that it was one column as much as it's like where, honestly, it's probably a lot of columns in where I look back on it now. And I thought I was too hard on someone. Like I piled on. It's okay to criticize, scrutinize, analyze. But don't get personal.
It's so hard.
And I thought, like, I thought I did that, for example, with Mike Matheny a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, being honest. The other thing, okay, you asked me one that I would take back, and it's not one column, but it's a series of columns, not written one day after another, but just written over a specific time. And that's with, I hate to even bring it up because it's frustrating, all the Ram stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was insisting to people, look, they're not going to move. You know, Roger Goodell told me at dinner they weren't going to move. Stan Kroenke called me up livid that I was suggesting that they would move and just said, I can't believe you're writing this stuff. Why would I move the team? I helped bring it here. I thought, well, you got the owner of the team mad because I even suggested it. You got the commissioner of the league who summoned me basically to get out the word. No, we don't want that team to move. Who do I talk to there? We'll get something going. I put him in touch with Dave Peacock and some other people. And I thought, you know what? Look, They're going to make every effort to keep this team here. And I was confident of that. Well, shame on me for believing people that obviously weren't telling the truth. But that's on me, not them.
Right.
You got to assume, I hate to say this, you got to assume people are not going to, they're going to play you or they're going to try to play you, and you can't always trust what they tell you. So I was one of the people, and I had egg on my face. No, they're not going anywhere. Well, obviously, totally wrong. But my reasons for being wrong actually made sense.
Yep.
But no one remembers that, and I get it. You got to own it.
The favorite one you've had?
You know, I just think it's, again, a series of columns.
I have my favorite that you did.
And I go back to all the great Cardinals moments during my time writing columns, all the World Series, postseasons, World Series, great stars, Albert Poole. I mean, I could sit here and make a long list. Just being there in the middle of everything and chronicling those great teams and their great achievements for the sort of the first draft of history, and also for all the great fans, whether it be Chris Carpenter outdueling Roy Halladay, something like that, the David Freese game. I mean, I could name about a million Albert Pujols things. You know, the Rams. I know people don't want to talk about the Rams, but look, the 1999 Rams are one of the most joyous things that ever happened in St. Louis sports. And look, that team belonged to us, so I will have nothing but good memories about that. And just covering that incredible, fantastic, highly improbable season that we didn't see coming, where they go from a laughingstock to Super Bowl champion in 1 year, and there's 500,000 people lined up for a parade. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
That just covering that whole season was amazing. And even though I wasn't in a position to cover the playoffs, I think the Blues winning the Stanley Cup, as the fan in me, might have been the most exhilarating thing of all, because it had something that had never happened before, and something that was a long time coming that generations of fans in St. Louis had waited for. As a fan, that was probably the most satisfying moment of my time in St. Louis, seeing that happen.
Tony La Russa talked about your piece, your column on Daryl Kyle, and posted that column in the stalls of all the players,
right,
and said, you know, basically, you know, should we be playing, and you know, you're going to have to play, but this is something you ought to read as to reach down as to why to play. And I know the column that you know the column I'm talking about,
right.
And he still talks about that today. And that's got to make you proud about what that means to you and what that meant to that team.
I don't know if it's I feel proud. I just feel good that I was able to help in some way a group of men who were devastated emotionally and otherwise. And it's like, how do we recover from this and play ball right away? I mean, is it the right thing to do? How do we have energy? How do we have enthusiasm? How do we even care? This just happened. We can't.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the backstory on that, you know, for people who don't know, and I was so I felt a lot of pressure to write that column and to do something appropriate, to do something meaningful. And I was wrestling with this idea, like, well, how can they play? Like, what is the message there that would make them feel maybe, you know, it sounds cold, but we still, you know, we all and you guys still have a job to do. And I wasn't saying get out there and play. That wasn't it at all. But I was like, where do I go to find guidance for this? Where do I go to where it makes sense to even encourage people and make them feel like they don't have to feel guilty for playing so soon? Like, what can I do to find a source of support, comfort, encouragement? And I spent hours going through old columns written in other cities about Daryl Kyle. And I mean, this search took, I don't want to embellish, but I think it took about 3 hours, maybe four. And I finally found a column from way back when a young Daryl Kyle was being interviewed. I believe it was at spring training when he was pitching for the Astros, and his father had just died. And he and his father were extremely close. His father was the biggest influence on his life, probably his best friend. And Daryl Kyle was quoted as saying, when he was asked, well, how do you, you know, you're supposed to start, this might have been early in the season, mm-hmm. So you're supposed to start 3 days from now. How can you even think about that? I mean, how can you put that aside, the loss of your dad? And he gave a series of quotes about, hey, this is a way to honor my dad, and this is a way, you got to show people that life goes on as tough as it is, and I'm going to do that. In part, it's going to be a big tribute to my dad. He would want me to do it because he taught me to be a competitor. He taught me to respect my teammates. He taught me to honor my teammates by doing everything I could for them. And so I said, that's it. That's it. Who better to talk about this in passing than Daryl Kyle,
yeah.
who actually went through a tragedy and had to pick up a baseball 2 or 3 days later and do his job. And that's what I put in there. And that's the thing that caught LaRusse's attention. Here's Daryl Kyle himself talking about this at a stage in his life where he went through the same type of tragedy.
It was beautiful.
I felt good that if I helped a little bit, awesome.
He still points to it today. Where do you think?
Yeah, and then he threatened me with a baseball bat a few days later. I'm only kidding. No, remember that, right? that actually he didn't. That was another thing. I was just making a joke.
He
Bad
threatened
joke.
All of us. It's all good.
No, I love LaRusse.
But then the next day he didn't. That's the beautiful thing about Tony.
Yeah.
He threatened you and he'd jump you, but then the next day it was over. That's what I love about Tony. He didn't hold a grudge with that stuff.
You know, the other thing I did about that season, and I'm not smiling because we are talking about a tragedy, but that was I admire that Cardinals team probably more than any team I ever covered. Because
I would agree.
It wasn't just Daryl Kyle. It was, you know, Jack Buck passed away. They also had so many injuries. You remember
yep.
that?
Yep.
They were just torn apart by injuries.
I mean, Travis Smith was making starts.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And they managed to win all those games. I forget the exact total. It was a lot. They were in the 90s.
90-plus.
Yeah. But I did a thing before the playoffs started at Dodger Stadium. I believe it did, right? Yeah. I remember walking up to LaRusse on the workout day before game one. And I said, you know, you're gonna think I'm crazy, but I went through the calendar, and this is the way my mind works. I'm just I think of things, and I don't know why I think of things. I wanted to see, you know, how many games the Cardinals won, what their record was after Daryl Kyle passed, and I checked this 3-4 times because I didn't believe it. From that point, from the day that he died till the end of the regular season, they won 57 games.
Right. It's amazing.
His number.
Right.
And LaRusse was like, you got to be kidding. No way. And I said, yeah, I checked it 5 times. I said, let's go to the office. I'll check it again and you can see it. 57.
It's incredible.
And he was just, I think he even gave me that's BS. I said, no, it's not. I would never mess with something like that. he was all fired up. And I think he told the team that too, and everyone kind of just loved it.
You know,
he loved hearing it. So that you want to believe in karma sometimes, right?
And that is it.
And even though they didn't go all the way, they might have if Roland hadn't gotten hurt. But I didn't mean to get bogged down in that. But it's just that was an unusual year, and some interesting things related to how I did my job.
I'm curious. Just a couple more minutes. And again, Bernie, so excited that you're a part of this. And I am curious about how we go forward with sports now. I wonder about it even with my job. You know, where are we with sports and how it plays a role in society? I thought it was going to be different than it was this summer. It wasn't as important as I thought it was going to be. I thought, you know, if we got back and played sports, there would be more interest. There wasn't. And I wonder about it going forward.
Yeah, and I can testify to that as someone who wasn't being paid. I didn't have professional obligations to get immersed in sports. Someone who was sitting on the sidelines. I've told you this. I found myself just very ambivalent about it.
I think most people were because they have more important things to worry about.
And exactly. And as the Cardinals started to make their run and battle through these things and got later in the season, I made sure to watch every game and really get into it again. But it was tough for me. I wasn't that interested, and obviously it's nothing personal, but I was ambivalent about the Blues back in the playoffs. I was ambivalent.
I think they were too.
I know. I was ambivalent about the NBA finals, well, at least until they got to the finals, but even then it was kind of it was hard to whip up a lot of enthusiasm because there were just more important problems, and obviously. And you know, we've always viewed sports as a healer and something that can distract us in a good way from hard times, bad times, something that just had an amazing grace to just sort of bring us together and lift our spirits. And I still think that that is true. However, we're talking about a pandemic that has destroyed the economy and has destroyed or damaged lives. And you got people wondering, can they pay the rent? Can they pay the mortgage? Are they going to lose their home? What are they going to do with their kids? You have people burying loved ones and not even being able to hold their hand in their final hours,
right.
So there's some things that even sports cannot instantaneously heal. However, and I have no answers except one, because I think it's going to be more of the same as far as people not throwing all the way in on this, not going all in on this. But as soon as the vaccine is distributed to everyone who wants it, and as soon as we know the world is safe again, then I think sports will resume as normal. And at that point, people will let loose, because then it'll be something they know, hey, the bad days are over and we're recovering and this will help. I really believe it's not going to happen until we get that vaccine into everybody and it's safe. And safety leads to happiness.
Yeah. I also think, I do believe this, and I've felt this more in the last week than I've felt watching any sporting event. College basketball is affected by not having a crowd more than any other sport I've watched.
Oh, I totally agree.
It's like watching, and this is no disrespect, the athletes are incredible.
Right.
It's like watching an exhibition game. It's like going, I was watching, I don't know if it was KU in Kentucky or whoever it was the other day, and the athletes are incredible. And the competition is incredible. Guys are playing above the rim. The defense is incredible. I'm watching first-round NBA guys. But, man, it's not the same. And it's the first time I've watched it and gone, that's not the same.
And, the hockey playoffs, for example. One of the great things about the NHL is the atmosphere, the environment, the fans, the color. I mean,
yes.
People are so fired up. And the crowd shots on TV are
yes.
great. And, that was missing. That left me flat. I didn't mind it as much as baseball, and that's easy for me to say. You were trying to call the games, you and your partners. But I didn't mind it as much because baseball to me has always been, it's okay.
Kind of slow
it's
anyway.
It's okay if it's quiet.
Yep,
In fact, I've always appreciated those quiet moments a
me
lot.
Too. Yep.
Where you can turn to someone and talk about, well, what should Mike Shildt do here?
Right.
Or, boy, I wish they would have started this guy. I mean, it's always invited that quiet conversation. So I think baseball did okay with that. To me, it wasn't a detriment watching the games. And to your credit, Derek Gould's credit, and everyone who covered baseball or announced baseball, no one would have ever known the circumstances of your access, that lack of access, I should
mm-hmm.
say. I mean, you guys did a terrific job. And that made it better, too. You gave the fans everything you possibly could.
The other thing, too, the normalcy of the season. You know, right. when you're playing the NBA in September or whatever it was, people just aren't used to it. I think the timing of sports, we're used to it. And when you're out of whack, people just aren't used to it. And I do think there's something to that.
There's no doubt about it. Same with hockey as well. You know, when and I guess hockey, reasonably close to the time they would have been playing it, especially basketball.
Yeah.
It's just out of season.
Yeah.
You know, golf was weird. And I love to watch golf.
The Masters.
Yeah, that was
in
weird.
November.
It was weird. I love horse racing. It's like, well, what do you mean
Me too.
What do you mean it's not going to start with the
right.
Kentucky Derby?
Right.
Know?
It was odd.
What do you mean that the Preakness is the last?
Right.
No, it was just very odd. I watched it, but it was very, very odd. And I tell you what, even this gets back to the original question on this. Like even now, and this will actually impact what I'm writing for ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. It's like, well. How do you discuss the Cardinals offseason? They should do this. Bill DeWitt should spend this. How do you do all that when the teams don't even know? The owners and general managers and team pre, they don't even know what they're working with exactly. Well, are we going to have fans? How many? Is it going to be 10,000 or none? Is it going to be gradual buildup? Are we going to be back to maximum capacity, so to speak, by, say, 4th of July? How do you even set parameters for how you run your team? And I know that's facing everyone, but this will not be the normal hot stove league either, because there's so many unsettled things and uncertainty in the game. So it's really tough to sit here and play for anybody to play, hot stove general manager. I mean, everybody thinks they can. Well, the Cardinals should do that. It's not quite that simple. There's a lot of stuff flying around, and they don't even know. None of these teams know what they're looking at financially.
I'm fired up, man.
Yeah, I am too.
Great to have you.
Are you going to be fired up the first time that I blast someone on the Cardinals, and they're going to say to you, "Why'd you hire that guy? Why would you want him on your site? Are you going to be okay with that?"
Last time I checked, it's your byline.
But you know how that works.
It's your byline.
If I'm not there for them to, metaphorically speaking, beat me up, they're gonna turn to you. Like, I can't believe you did that.
It's your byline.
Are you going to be okay with that?
Last time I checked, you just said 20 minutes ago you're highly accessible.
Well, I will be. At least once I can.
You're highly accessible.
Once I can make sure the COVID ain't going to get me. I'll be real accessible. So
you're accessible.
All right.
Make sure that you answer your cell phone.
I will, boss.
Oh, I'm not the boss. What's the matter with
okay,
you?
Okay, boss.
You dude, highly accessible. If Mr. DeWitt is listening, he's highly accessible.
Oh, we're going to have fun, so I'm looking forward to it very much. And thanks for this opportunity.
Oh, thank you, man. It's a privilege.
I was just so tickled to be able to do this. I mean, I just...
And the bits are coming back.
They're coming back, and you know, I'll be thinking of some more things as we go along. Man, I'm rusty. I got to get into this. I've been telling you, how are you feeling about it? I said, I'm nervous. And what do you mean you're nervous? I haven't written for 7 months. You realize I've been writing column after column after column after column for basically 40 years. And it's like to take a 7-month break where the only thing I've written is text messages, right? I'm like, wait, do I still have the fastball? You know, do I have good stuff? I mean, I'm a little nervous about it, but I'll be fine. I might need a little time. I might need some reps. So everybody be easy on me.
Grow up.
It's my spring training, man.
You better grow up. Let's go. Get with it.
I've already grown out. I don't think I need to grow
you
up.
You have not. I'm a stop.
Thank
that.
You, brother. Thank you.
You're the best.
ScoopsWithDannyMac.com.
Love Scoops. The hat.
It's a good hat, by the way. People ought to buy them.
It's on the site.
Very good.
Right next to your byline.
Very comfortable.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.